Good morning. Good to have you here this morning, and thank you for being here. We have several visiting with us today. There's a Laura here from Ark City. We're glad to have her today. John Grimes, a young man visiting with us today. And I saw Sister Gary Fryer back there last week as well as this morning, and we are glad to have her. Vicki and Keith Williamson have a whole row full of folks with them today, and we are delighted to have each one of them and each one of you. Couple of things that need to go on your prayer list if they're not there already. Many of you are aware of the fact that Brother Ed has been diagnosed with having a prostate cancer, and he is still trying to decide what needs to be done or what can be done about that. So be praying for Brother Ed on that. And then you may or may not have heard that Sister Elena Hawkins, a member that was here several years ago, moved to Florida, has passed away. And I guess there will be a service here in the very near future, but we don't have the details on that yet. It was your typical governmental cover-up. He was a man with an incredible amount of power, and he was used to always having his way. He's married, but he meets a beautiful woman, and secret, sinful, sexual desires begin to well up in his heart. And he learns that she too is married, but after making some discreet arrangements, he soon commits adultery. Unfortunately, the woman gets pregnant. And so now begins the inevitable but familiar cover-up. Using his authority, the official has the woman's husband, who is a soldier on active duty in a distant field of battle, has him called home in hopes of hiding his adultery. When that doesn't work, he makes sure that the husband becomes another battlefield casualty. Now, you probably have guessed that I'm not speaking about some present-day senator or congressman. Could be, couldn't we? But I'm referring to an incident that happened more than 3,000 years ago, involving the man that we know as King David. And if you want to read that sad, sordid story for yourself, you can go to the 11th chapter of 2 Samuel. But even so, many people have a really difficult time with that story because David was so well known as the man that was after God's own heart. And of course, that had been said about him prior to the time of his sin with Bathsheba. And I have referred to this story because it's one of the most vivid examples of a person doing the exact opposite of what he or she is supposed to do, of being the exact opposite of what he or she is supposed to be. Someone sent me an email recently that described a man who, doing the right thing, stopped at an intersection, even though he could have stepped on it and sped through on a yellow light. But the lady behind him was not quite so noble, and she had fully expected the man to speed on through, so she had to slam on her brakes, which upset her greatly. So she laid on the horn and began calling him every name in the book. And she was still in the middle of her rant when a police officer tapped on her window and ordered her to get out of the car and to put her hands up. And she was taken to the police station where she was booked and photographed and fingerprinted. put in a holding cell. An hour or so went by, and they came and they released her, and she went back to pick up her personal things, and she met the officer that had arrested her. And he said, "I apologize for the mistake. But you see, when I pulled up behind your car, you were blowing your horns and cussing a blue streak at the guy in front of you. It's then that I noticed your bumper sticker. What would Jesus do?" And another one that said, "Follow me to Sunday school." So naturally, I assumed you had stolen that car. Now, that may hit too close to home to be funny, but I wonder if we realize how many times every day we might be thinking or speaking or acting like non-believers, like non-Christians. And that's why this morning my message to you is this. If you are not an atheist, don't act like one. Now that may seem a bit harsh or extreme, but hopefully you'll get my point this morning. Last Sunday evening we watched a video presentation entitled Evolution versus God. And incidentally, there is a web link in the bulletin. If you didn't get to see that, if you'd like to review it or see it again, there is a web link in the bulletin. You can go and you can watch that online. But in that presentation, the speaker, a man by the name of Ray Comfort, was on the campus of probably USC or UCLA, and he was interviewing a number of students and also some professors. And almost all of whom said they were atheist. And then before the video was finished, he began asking these people if they had ever told a lie. And of course, all of them freely admitted that they had and that they do. Then he asked them if they had ever taken something that didn't belong to them, stolen something. Once again, they admitted that they did. Then he asked them if they had ever entertained any lustful thoughts. And once again, all of them said that they had, even though the lady professor said not lately. He then asked them if they had ever blasphemed God, if they ever used the name of God in vain, and every one of these so-called atheists said they did. Well, I thought about that, and I thought to myself, you know, we're not surprised that when we learn that atheists do these things. But what about when professing Christians do them? How are we to explain it when Christians think and act and speak like absolute unbelievers? And I'm using the word Christian this morning in a very loose sense, but it seems to me that atheism is on the rise in this nation. Now, whether or not it is a little difficult to actually prove, but it may be that maybe just the small percentage of people who really are atheists are just becoming more and more vocal and visible about things. Maybe that's what's happening. Maybe we're just hearing more about atheism these days. Maybe we're seeing them have more and more influence, however. Brother Joe Smock brought me a cartoon Wednesday night. And it's a cartoon called Shoe. And Shoe is a newspaper reporter. And his editor says to him, an atheist has won the right to protest in the city square, the town square. And then he says, I need a headline for that. And Shu says, well, how about atheist prayers have been answered? Well, it seems like a lot of atheist prayers are getting answered these days. But there's another kind of atheism that is even more disturbing. It even has a name in the popular media today. It's called Christian atheism. Craig Groeschel is the author of a popular book entitled The Christian Atheist. It is subtitled Believing in God, but Living as If He Didn't Exist. Now, naturally, there's really no such thing as a Christian atheist. We'd say that's an oxymoron, which is an expression or a statement that is self-contradictory. But even so, when professing Christians do things that atheists do, when they act in ways that are typical of atheists, unfortunately, the label fits, doesn't it? So I'm here this morning to say to you, if you're not an atheist, don't act like one. Atheists, of course, are people who deny that God exists. They might even boldly claim they can prove that God does not exist. But, of course, they can't really do that. They cannot know, absolutely be certain, that God does not exist unless they can prove that they know everything about everything. Otherwise, the one thing that they might not know might be God. Nevertheless, they do not believe in the existence of God, such as you and I have come here this morning to worship. However, even though atheism is the belief that there is no God, there are a number of things that flow naturally out of that belief. We had an illustration of that last Sunday night when Ray Comfort, the speaker, asked one of the professors if he had ever blasphemed God. And the man replied that since he didn't believe in God, he could hardly be guilty of blaspheming God. But of course, what one believes about anything does not change the reality, the realities of things that exist. If there's a God, and there is, then blasphemy is a sin regardless of whether one believes in that God or not. Incidentally, I like that bumper sticker that says, you don't believe in God? It's all right. He believes in you. There are certain things that one can expect atheists to do. Certain things that atheists believe. For example, you would not expect atheists to be in places of Bible study and worship. Maybe there are some who do, for some strange, inconsistent reason, do that, but most of them don't. But what about those who profess to be Christians, who don't go to Bible study, who do not go to worship? I wonder about that. I mean, you're Christians, right? You're not an atheist. So if your practice is to skip Bible study, if you don't go to worship, well, is that more consistent with being a Christian or being an atheist? Think about that. It's doubtful if many atheists pray. There's an old saying that there are no atheists in foxholes, and that might be true. I don't know. Never been in one. But I doubt if you find most atheists spending much time in prayer. But what about you? You're a Christian, right? You're not an atheist. And so probably you spend a lot of time in prayer, don't you? You see, atheists don't pray because they don't believe in God. So I wonder why people who profess to be Christians and who do believe in God, why they don't spend much time in prayer. I hope you think that's a good question. I don't suppose that most atheists spend a lot of time reading and studying the Bible. There are probably some who do or have, but most probably do not. Many years ago, I attended Wichita State University for a year, and I had a teacher out there, a professor by the name of Dr. Mitchell, who professed to be an atheist. But even so, he was he was somewhat aware of what the Bible says, and from time to time he would even quote some scriptures. But I'm sure he's not typical of most who claim to be atheists, many of whom have an absolute disdain and hatred for the Bible. They have no desire or reason to pick it up and to study it daily and read about it and think about what it says. But what about you? You're a Christian, right? You're not an atheist. So what does your practice of reading and studying the Bible look like? Does it look more like that of the Christian or of the atheist? Reportedly, most atheists who claim to be humanist are really not very humanitarian. That is, they don't give a whole lot to charitable causes. They don't contribute much to churches. Statistically, their giving to benevolent causes is way below the norm. And I'm very sure that little of their money ever makes its way into religious organizations. And why should it? They don't believe in what those organizations stand for, what they represent. So that really shouldn't surprise us. In fact, we'd be very surprised if atheists made frequent or generous contributions to a church. On the other hand, you would think that Christians would be very eager and generous in their giving and in their financial support of the church and the things that they say that they believe in. So think about that. What does your practice look like? More like that of the Christian or of the atheist? Now, if some of these things are making you feel a little uncomfortable, I want you to think about that. That's a good thing, really. I believe it's a good thing. Let's go on. Morally speaking, we're not surprised if atheists give themselves over to things that are sinful and ungodly. The Apostle Paul in Romans chapter 1 said it's going to be that way. It is that way. Look at Paul. Paul writes there in Romans chapter 1, beginning of verse 21. He says, "For although they knew God, they did not honor him as God or give thanks to him, but they became futile in their thinking and their foolish hearts were darkened. Claiming to be wise, they became fools and exchanged the glory of the immortal God for images resembling mortal man and birds and animals and reptiles. And therefore God gave them up in the lust of their hearts to impurity, to the dishonoring of their bodies among themselves, because they exchanged the truth about God for a lie, and worshipped and served the creature rather than the Creator, who is blessed forever. Amen. For this reason, God gave them up to dishonorable passions, for their women exchanged natural relations for those that are contrary to nature. And the men likewise gave up natural relations with women and were consumed with passion for one another, men committing shameless acts with men and receiving in themselves the due penalty of their error. And since they did not see fit to acknowledge God, God gave them over to a debased mind to do what ought not to be done. And they were filled with all manner of unrighteousness, evil, covetousness, malice. They are full of envy and murder and strife and deceit and maliciousness. They are gossips, slanderers, haters of God, insolent, haughty, boastful, inventors of evil, disobedient to parents, foolish, faithless, heartless, ruthless. Though they know God's decree that those who practice such things deserve to die, they not only do them but give hearty approval to those who practice them." I found it pretty disturbing that so many of the people that were interviewed for that video that we watched last Sunday night spoke freely about the many sinful and ungodly things that they did. And there was no shame about it. No shame at all. You see, in their mind, if there's no God, then there can't be any moral absolutes. That means that in their worldview, there is no absolute, anything that is absolutely right or wrong. Everything is relative. So we wouldn't be surprised, really, by anything done by people who operate out of that kind of a mindset. If they lie, we're not surprised. If they steal, we're not surprised. If they do drugs and get drunk, we're not surprised, given what they believe about where this world came from nothing, just a cosmic accident. It doesn't really surprise us that they might want to somehow forget about all of that. If they lust and commit fornication, if they're into pornography, we're not surprised about that. We expect those who do not believe in God to act like that. But you're not like that, are you? After all, you're a Christian. And you don't do those things, except that many people who profess to be Christians do. According to researchers, the percentage of those who consider themselves Christians who drink and do drugs is not much different than the rate of those who don't claim to be Christians. The rate of marital affairs and divorce is about the same for those who profess to be Christians as it is for those who do not make that claim. Isn't it interesting that most of the people who are incarcerated in our jails and prisons claim to be Christians? There's a lot of difference in how sexually active teens, there's not a lot of difference, rather, in how sexually active teens are that go to church compared with those who don't. About the same percentage are getting pregnant and having abortions. They are drinking and they're doing drugs. They have no problem with telling lies. They are major consumers of online pornography. The rants and the ramblings that appear on Facebook of some people who consider themselves to be Christians would make a satyr blush. No wonder they call it Christian atheism. There are Christians who won't work, won't be responsible, do not pay their bills. There are Christians whose days are filled with gossip and slander, and backbiting and bickering. We have Christian husbands who are insulting and abusive to their wives. We have Christian women who are addicted to prescription painkillers and gambling. There are so-called Christian parents who neglect and abuse their children and get caught up in things that the world finds shocking. Remember, the Apostle Paul talked about a brother over there in Corinth whose immoral behavior, he said, would not have even been condoned by the pagans. You might recall the infamous BTK killer up in Wichita, a serial killer several years ago, that he was actually the president of his church's leadership council. And again, we wouldn't be shocked or surprised to learn that these things were being done by people who profess to be atheists. But it is disturbing, is it not, that these things are being done by people who claim to be Christians. Atheists do not worry about whether or not something is sinful or not. And they could care less whether or not something is biblical or scriptural. They have no concern about biblical authority for anything. That doesn't matter to them. But did you know that there's a lot of professing Christians that have exactly the same attitude? Christian atheism. And again, I say, brethren, if you're not an atheist, don't live like one. Atheists don't concern themselves with the prospect of judgment day. They don't believe in God. And they don't believe there's going to be a heaven or a hell, and they don't believe there's ever going to be a time when they're going to have to give an account for anything that they have ever thought or said or done as far as being in this life. But think about it, brethren. Is there any practical difference between an atheist who doesn't believe in any of these things and the person who does but acts as if he doesn't? Atheists do not spend any of their time trying to teach and share the gospel of Christ with other people. They don't believe there's going to be a heaven. They don't believe there's going to be a hell. And so they don't have any interest. They invest no time or effort in trying to lead others to the way of salvation that's in Christ. But what about you? You're a Christian. So I'm sure you do that. Talking to others about God and trying to teach them the gospel is something that Christians should do. So do you see why I said, if you're not an atheist, don't act like one? Or maybe we could put it another way. If you claim to be a Christian, then do act like it. We need to make up our minds about these things. I'm reminded of Joshua's challenge to Israel as he neared the end of his life. In Joshua chapter 24, the venerable leader said this, "Now therefore fear the Lord and serve him in sincerity and faithfulness. Put away the gods that your father served beyond the river and in Egypt and serve the Lord. And if it's evil in your eyes to serve the Lord, choose this day whom you will serve. Get on one side or the other," he says. "Whether the gods your father served in the region beyond the river or the gods of the Amorites in whose land you dwell, but as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord." And so we need to ask ourselves the question, am I a Christian? Or am I an atheist? Maybe am I a Christian atheist? Is that what my bumper stickers say? What are the things that come out of my mouth, my thinking? What is that saying about me? Am I a Christian or an atheist? What about my values and my morals and my priorities? What are those things say about us, you see? What about my habits and my practices? Do they show that I'm a Christian? Or maybe not. David committed a great sin. And it wasn't just a sin against Bathsheba or her husband Uriah. It was against God. And he was no longer the man after God's own heart. And so the truth is the day that Samuel confronted David turned out to be one of the greatest blessings he ever had. And if there's any here today who have been practicing Christian atheism, I hope you'll experience the same thing. I hope you won't leave here angry or upset with the speaker. But I hope you'll experience a humbling as you begin to realize that's me. And I need to change. And I need to confess that. I didn't preach this to condemn anyone. I don't have anybody specifically in mind about anything. But I just want us all to think about it. We can lie to ourselves, but we can't lie to God. We can say that we're Christians, but if we're acting like atheists, what we say doesn't matter. When David realized that he had sinned, he was immediately convicted and immediately confessed that sin. And that's what you need to do this morning. We encourage you this morning to take this opportunity. Now, think about this. An atheist hearing this lesson this morning would probably just let all of this go in one ear and out the other. But what about you? You're not an atheist, are you? You're a Christian. And so if you need to do something this morning, will you do it while together we stand and as we sing? Here you come.